So the question is as follows, because the Gemara says if you have near Shabbos and you have near Hanukkah, so the Gemara says near Shabbos Adif because of Sholem Bayis. So the Achronim asks, like, what do you mean? Why do you have to choose? Just use one candle for both. The same candle I use for near Shabbos, let me use Finir. Like, what do I understand if I can afford both, so I'll have both. But in a case where I can't afford both, let me use one for both. Jeff, you have a question?
Yes, I think I know, yes. Huh? Yes, I think
Well, that'd be exactly. Well, that's what the Vilna the Gaon says. That's the source. That's what the question we ask. We said the Gemara says you can't use near Hanukkah for counting change. It's a bizayon. But the Machabers, but Rav Yosef Cairo says even with Dvar Mitzvah. So they all ask on the Machaber, where did he get her from? The Vilna the Gaon says he got her from this Gemara, because the fact the Gemara did not suggest it, meaning it's not a choice. You can, because Bishroma, because you can't use near Hanukkah even with Var Mitzvah. See, because it's also, because by near Shabbos, the purpose of near Shabbos is for the light. You want, that's the whole point of it, so you can use the light. Near Hanukkah, the whole purpose is exclusively for near Hanukkah, not for the light. You want to show you're not lighting a candle just for the light. You're specifically lighting near Hanukkah to show it's not for the light. I'm remembering the mitzvah of near Hanukkah. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says. What?
In the prayer that you say over the lighting of the candles, it says something about...
Asar lehishtamesh la'ora. Correct. It says you're...
Exactly.
You're and in fact, that's what they point out. You say that to show, you know, that's the purpose of the... You know, to remind us that's the purpose of the mitzvahs is pursuing Nisa, not to get... You know, there's a discussion is... Some have a minhag that you should light you should learn a half an hour by the candles. Some say like you shouldn't. Others say then turn on the lights in the room. So therefore you're not, so who's against learning for a half an hour? So turn the lights on or move, don't sit right next to the, you know, different minhagim, whether you should do it or not. But that's, so the Vilna Gaon says, you know why Gemara doesn't suggest it? Because it's usher. It's usher to go ahead and get benefit from the near, even with Dvar Mitzvah. That's the Vilna Gaon's answer. The Magen Avraham has a different answer. The Magen Avraham says, you know why the Gemara didn't suggest it? Because it's impossible. What do you mean it's impossible? Why is it impossible?
You assume that at that time they weren't allowed to have the candle.
Correct. It's impossible because the mitzvah of near Shabbos is to light inside your home. The mitzvah of near Hanukkah was to light outside. I can't do both. I have to make a choice. Wherever I light, you know, if I light outside, I'm doing near Hanukkah. If I light inside, I'm... So the effort of the Magen Avraham says, of course the Gemara didn't suggest it. There wasn't an option. So by the way, we see this machlokes in the Rishonim on whether Bizman HaGemara you could light Hanukkah candles. It's really a machlokas as well, the Magen Avraham and the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon is clearly assuming, like the Sefer HaTrumos, that you could light inside. And really, you're right, it's a good question, but there's another reason why, because if you can't get benefit from the Ner Hanukkah even with Dvar Mitzvah. And the Magen Avraham says the question doesn't even begin, because one is inside, one is outside. So this machlokas, Vilna Gaon, Magen Avraham, it's really a machlokes, the Sefer HaTrumos versus the Rambam, Rashba, and the Bali Tosfos. So therefore, so Bizman HaGemara, it's clear that you, if you only had one candle, if you only had enough money for one, you'd use it for near Shabbos. That's clear. That's an explicit Gemara. Comes along the Magen Avraham and says, but that was Bizman HaGemara. What about, I don't mean Bizman HaZeh today, Bizman HaZeh of the Magen Avraham. Even in the Magen Avraham already suggests that, so during his day, the mitzvah changed to light inside. So therefore, the Magen Avraham suggests that during his day, you no longer have to choose. In other words, according to the Vilna Gaon, you can't do both. It's a bizoy mitzvah. But the Magen Avraham, it's a double machlok, as I'm saying. Number one, they argue on how you learn the Gemara, but the Magen Avraham says you can do both. So he says, the only reason you can't do both is was a pragmatic reason. One's outside, one's inside. Once the rabbis instituted, you could light Hanukkah candles inside, and if you're stuck with one candle, then have it. He doesn't go into the details, what bracha do you make, how you do it, but he says fundamentally, we'll work out the technicalities, how we're going to work it, but he says you could use one candle and fulfill near Shabbos and near Hanukkah. So that's what the Magen Avraham writes, that this Gemara is only Bizman HaGemara, but Bizman HaZeh, he says, one can use, I mean his day, one could use Hanukkah and Shabbos with the same candle. And clearly the Vilna Gaon disagrees. He holds that's Bizoy Mitzvah. So I want to add a third stage. So we have the Gemara says clearly near Shabbos wins, and that's it. If you only have one candle, you light near Shabbos and you don't light Hanukkah candles that night. And the Magen Avraham has an added Kiddush, but once the Bizman HaGemara, once they move the institution inside, so the Vilna Gaon says it's the same, you still light near Shabbos because you can't do both, and Cholam Bayis wins. And according to the Magen Avraham, you can do both, and therefore you light inside and you fulfill both mitzvahs. So I want to say, Bizman HaZeh, I want to go against the Gemara and say you light near Hanukkah today. If you only have enough money to buy near Hanukkah or near Shabbos, I say you use the money on near Hanukkah. What am I? Is this heresy? Am I going against the Gemara? Going against all the Rishonim? Jeff?
Yeah, you can get solar bias and electric lights.
Correct. So I say the Gemara would agree with me. I'm in conjunction with the. In fact, I'm following the Mesorah. In fact, that was what we just read about this week, that Yitzchak was followed in the traditions of his father. He went ahead and he did everything like his father. He took the same wells. He would have went down to Mitzrayim, but he wasn't allowed to. His wife was taken captive. So Yitzchak, of all the Avos, he followed along with his father. We'll see. There's a as I'll explain, at a certain point, you have to forge your own way also, but he basically followed the Mesorah. So people make a mistake that following the Mesorah means doing the same exact thing that your father did or grandfather did or your rabbi. Perhaps many times it is, but you have to know your Rebbe very well. Sometimes following the same exact thing is following the wrong thing. Because if times have changed, and you do the same, then you're going against your Rebbe. You're not going with your Rebbe. So I'll give you an example, and then I'll tie it into our case. There's a famous Maharsha. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about, that when Joshua was fighting the wars, he put a cherem on not to take the booty. And someone took the booty, and the Jews suffered defeat at Ai, at one of the places. So it came down to Yeshua. Yeshua said, what happened? God said, it's your fault. Who told you to make a cherem? I didn't tell you to make a cherem. He said, what are you talking about? I follow my Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu. What greater rabbi than Moses? I followed in his footsteps. He made a cherem, so I made a cherem. So God says, no, you don't have a clue. He says, it was a different scenario here. It's different than Moshe. You're right. If you're in the same exact circumstances, then you're right. Then you follow your Rebbe. You're in a different circumstance, and you didn't realize it. So you messed up. Why? What changed? So the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, and Avni Nezer's others elaborate on it, that what happened when the Jews entered into Eretz Israel. So at Sinai, we took on personal responsibility. We became responsible for keeping the laws of the Torah. But what happened in the, when we entered the land of Israel? Kol Yisro Arevim Zelazeh. Being responsible, communal responsibility began when the Jews entered the land of Israel. So in the Midbar, I was responsible for myself, not for other people. But once we entered the land of Israel, we became communally responsible. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu made a cheirim because there was no communal, so everyone's responsible for that. I'm not responsible for someone else takes the cheirim, so I can make my cheirim. It's not going to hurt anyone else. Whoever violates my law, they'll get punished. But Yoshua didn't realize that the situation changed. If you want to follow Moshe Rabbeinu, you wouldn't make a cheirim anymore. So doing the same exact thing as your Rebbe doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. You have to, you know, whether, be it back in the days of Europe, when there was communism and all these different isms, so the great rabbis were very against going to university, college, or let's say going to the army. You have to know, is today the same battle? Is today going to university like it was 50 years ago when or 100 years ago? Maybe today they tell you to go. Today universities are much more pragmatic. Not as people are going. What I mean to say is, people are going for a profession. They want to make a living. And then back in the day, they used to go to learn the culture. They used to care about education back then, to be worldly and educated. But either way, you have to know the scenario. The point being is, Yoshua's mistake was he followed what his Rebbe did, even though the situation changed. So you have to be very careful to know if you're following what you better make sure it's the same scenario. So that's what, so same thing here. Yitzchak followed in the footsteps of Avram. That's why he couldn't go to Israel, because his situation, because he was part of the Kakedus Yitzchak, God said, you're not allowed to leave Israel. So you have to know when the situation, so I want to say, I'm going with Chazal. I think Chazal would be happy. The Gemara says explicitly, the money goes for Shabbos candles. I say, I go with Chanukah. I'm not going against the rabbis. I think I have the blessing of the rabbis. Why? Because if they lived during a time of electricity, they'd say this, they'd come to the same conclusion as me. That, again, so since we at Paskin, that one could fulfill the mitzvah of Friday night candles with electric, so the effort's not a problem, again, unless you're homeless. Then if you're homeless, you wouldn't have near Hanukkah either. And maybe you wouldn't have near Shabbos. But assuming you have a house to live in, so then we were fortunate to have electricity. So therefore, one would light the Shabbos candles with electric, which maybe you should be doing anyway, in addition to Shabbos candles, because that's the main light now. Who gets benefit from the candles? You have a big electric light in your dining room, a chandelier, and you have a tiny little candle. So the Iker candles you should be lighting anyway, as Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. Before Shabbos, you should be shutting off all the electric lights you're going to use, turn them back on, and then light candles, have the bracha go on everything. So really the Iker is the electric light. So therefore, one would light Shabbos candles. Well, first, our meaning is you would light first Chanukah candles with the candles, because that'll be a separate shear. Is one permitted to use electric lights for Hanukkah? So of course the answer would be then, if you could use electric for both, so then for Shabbos, then depending whichever one was better, Shabbos would get precedence which one you could use, because Shalom Bayis still wins. So all things being equal, Shalom Bayis would get the edge. But assuming if you could use electric lights for Hanukkah, you could choose how you want to do it. Because everyone, even if you hold, you could, but the assumption is Shabbos fire would be better, or oil. But either way, we'll get to that shear later. So that's the point is, you have to be careful when you're following in the footsteps of your Rebbe or your aunt, that you know the scenario, because if you don't know the scenario, you'll end up doing exactly the same. You'll do exactly the same thing, but exactly the wrong thing. You have to know, there's a big difference between and there's a fine line. You have to be knowledgeable, you can't make that between being a machadesh and being a mashana. A machadish means you're taking the principles that my Rebbe taught me, Chazal taught me, and I'm applying them. A mishana is I'm changing the principles. You have to be careful you're not changing the principles. Then you change the principles, it's no longer Judaism anymore. But you take the same principles that were given at Sinai and you apply them to your own generation, not you personally, the posek, whoever the posek hador is, or the rabbis of the generation, and they have to take the principles and figure out what to do. This, I saw a nice chat anyway on, from Dr. Lamb on, because this, on this week's parsha about the wells, you know, we said it shows that he follows the footsteps of his father. But in the wells case, that Avram built the wells, Yitzchak built them, because they covered them up, and then the first two times it didn't work out. He got into machlokes, strife with the people, and the third time it worked out. He called the wells Rehovos, you know, that town in Jerusalem, Rehovos. So the question is, but the Torah doesn't tell us why the third time worked out. So why did the third time work out? So the Chafetz Chaim says it's just a general rule. That persistence pays off. You got to try again until you succeed. Things are difficult. If you work hard enough, it's going to work out. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says. However, Dr. Lamb, quoting, I think, his uncle, says a different pshat I liked. He says, no, because what's the pshat? If you look closely in the Chumash, that the first two times, it says, the Avdei Yitzchak, the servants of Yitzchak, dug the well. But on the third well, it says Yitzchak dug the well himself. That we know as a leader, it's important to know how to delegate, because if you end up doing everything yourself, it's never going to work out. As Moshe said, this come to me with the difficult things. You have to learn to delegate, and part of leadership is giving people a chance to be able to feel ownership so they'll do it. However, certain times, you got to do things yourself, either being a role model. And therefore, Yitzchak finally took ownership over it. That he forged a way. You follow your footsteps of Avram, but you have to have a certain way. You have to have your own avodas Hashem also. You work with the Mesorah, but no one's born the same. And therefore, the Yitzchak was successful the third time because he did it on his own. As we know, as the Avid Drum writes in a different context, that we know we have a Chazaras Hashatz, we have a Shriach Sibor going ahead and repeating Shmona Esrei. And we just, you know, we just listen and answer Amen. However, there's one part of a Chazaras Hashatz where the Sibor joins in. Modim Anachnuach. So the Avid Drum asks, why is it that we join in by Modim? Why not either by everything or why by nothing? And the answer is because modim is gratitude. I'm giving gratitude to God. When I'm giving gratitude, I can't delegate. I got to do it myself. There's certain times in life you got to thank God directly. Sometimes you can delegate to your students, to your workers, but sometimes you got to take personal ownership. And that's what God was looking for. The third time when Yitzchak did it, that's Rehovos. He was successful, and he was forging his own way of Avodas Hashem. Let's summarize here. So we discussed the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara said